Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. There's something you should know about identical twins, and that is when one twin dies, no matter the cause, the surviving twin's life suddenly is at serious risk. A new memoir titled Her is a gut-wrenching account of the death of Kara Paravani at age 28 of a drug overdose. Her is something else, too, a chronicle of two people so close, living lives so deeply intertwined that they sometimes struggle to recall which memories belong to whom and which experiences belong to each. Krista Paravani is the author of Her. This is a book of memorable lines, and here's one. I gazed at myself in the mirror after she died, and there she was. Later on this hour, 90 Mile View and Brian McTavish with your weekend to-do list. But first up, Krista Paravani, who happens to be married to a former up-to-date guest, Anthony Swofford. He's the author of Jarhead, and Krista joins us from the studios of NPR in New York. And Krista, it's so nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, your sister died in 2006, and I'm wondering, do you still see her in the mirror every time you look at one?
I do. It's changed, though. At first, after my sister died, it was a shock to see her. We spent our whole lives trying to differentiate from each other. Mm. We had, even as little girls, Kara ate vanilla ice cream and I ate chocolate ice cream, and Kara wore blue and I wore pink. And, you know, we just needed to have the little earth that was left for us to stand on. So, you know, our whole lives, I kind of went through it thinking we didn't look anything alike. But then, of course, after she died, I looked in the mirror, and as I wrote in the book, there she was. And I do see her now, but I'm getting a little bit older, and I'm seeing changes in myself that she was never able to have, and so mm-hmm. I'm becoming my own person a little bit more than I had been then in 2006 when I lost her.
You know, I noticed in the publicity shots for this book that your hair is dark now. In the photograph on the front cover of your book, you and your sister are blonde. Was that a deliberate decision on your part to again help provide some distance for you after she passed?
Well, that's a great question, actually, because it had nothing to do with any of that. It had more to do with, for me, trying as a photographer to find the humor in what was happening to us. And I thought, well, what do they say happens to you when something terrible in your life occurs? And that's that shock of white. So for the photographs, we decided to color our hair that way.
That's a terrific photograph on the cover of the book, and I assumed that you had taken that picture.
I did take that photograph. I made a series of photographs of my sister around that time.
Now, how tough is it for those of us who don't have a twin brother or sister to understand what it's like to be an identical twin and, you know, to share all the things that you and your sister did? Because your life has been very different from mine, I guess, at least in this regard.
Yeah, I mean, for twins, you never know that you're supposed to have a separate identity from someone else. You're not raised thinking that you're an individual who will go on in the world and accomplish things individually. Twins share right from the beginning. You know, we had similar interests, we had similar friends, we actually wound up going to the same college, and we followed a path in our lives that was one that was together, and it always seemed that it was going to be that way. But, you know, there are things that happen to twins. In the beginning, like I said, it was very simple. Kara ate vanilla ice cream and I ate chocolate ice cream. But as time went on, we decided, you know, that we needed to have different identities, and there were more adult choices ahead of us. And we both actually in college decided that we wanted to study writing. And that was a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, I noticed.
Because,
yes.
Yeah, because there was, you know, even though everything is laid out before you to have similar things, you want very different things. And there was a competitive fighting that was actually very difficult to deal with.
And you later broke off and began to study photography again, just as a way to differentiate yourself from your sister.
I did. You know, it's funny because it was still in the arts. even though we chose different things, we were really still choosing the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Those differences weren't, you know, as big as we thought, you know, in retrospect. But yeah, my sister had been studying fiction in college and I was studying poetry, and I decided she had the steam that I didn't at that point. And she went on and got a degree in fiction and I got one in photography. But, you know, this hilarious thing happened to us as we were about to turn in our theses for our senior projects at Bard, which was we were driving to turn them in together, and this sort of wave of anger came over me. And I looked at my sister, who had this neatly stacked thesis on her lap, and I took it and I shoved it out the window. And she sort of looked at me like, Krista, why are you doing this? And, you know, I was doing it because I felt really upset that I'd had to give writing up for Kara. And so, you know, in response, she took my thesis and hung it out the window. And, you know, all of a sudden we're driving really fast on a road that you're only supposed to be going 30 miles an hour, you know, fretting. And we weren't able to hold on to those pages, and they just flew behind us and into the farmland and kind of swirled together, which for me, I think, if I think about what the big metaphor for her is, this book, it's that one.
Huh. We're visiting with Krista Parivani about her new memoir, Her. What do these studies, Krista, that I mentioned in the opening of the show here today, say about what happens when an identical twin dies in terms of putting the surviving twin's life at risk? Again, I'd never heard of that quite that directly before. What's that about?
Well, I was a woman so pained that I spent many hours on the internet after mm-hmm. my sister died doing, you know, research to try to figure out what in the world was happening to me, because the experience of losing a twin, I mean, it's not just, you know, the visual of seeing your twin in the mirror when you look at them. It's also the complicated desire to be with them again, because when your twin dies, there's nothing in the world that you want more than to be with them. And because you were so like them, you can kind of search them out. So I found myself during that time becoming my sister, and my sister was a very troubled woman. And I really took on her personality traits in order to try to bring her back. And that was so confusing to me that I found myself trying to do the research to see if other people had, in fact, had this experience also, and found an article that suggested that twins had a very high risk of dying in the first 2 years after they'd lost their twin. And it was the cause was irrelevant. And that was it. Cancer wasn't, you know, listed as a factor, heart disease. It was as much lifestyle as it was health.
Mm-hmm. You know, this notion that you were trying to copy your sister, to duplicate her in a way, were you aware that that was what you were doing at the time you were doing it?
I was aware of it and I was unaware of it. I noticed myself saying, you know, crazy things that she would say and feeling, you know, totally out of control in ways that I knew that she had felt that she was out of control. But even though I was aware of that, it was unstoppable. There was no way for me to stop behaving like Kara, even though I was subtly aware of it. But I sabotaged my marriage in the same way that she'd sabotaged her marriage. And it wasn't just taking on her qualities. It was also that I did really miss her so much that no company was going to replace her. And so I sabotaged my marriage because my husband wasn't my twin.
Hmm. And one other memorable line from the book, and you write this very directly, you know, your sister passed away and you wrote, "I got ready to die too." Just very much in the same way, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we expected to die together. And that sounds totally crazy. And maybe it is. But really, we did expect that. I think that the moment my sister took her last breath was also the moment that I took my last breath, in a way, because I couldn't fathom a world without her. Mm-hmm. I really couldn't. Although there was a time that we'd been driving in Massachusetts together, and my sister, just out of the blue, she looked at me and she said, "Krista, if you ever die, I'll kill myself." And I thought about, you know, what she'd said, and I found that hard to take. And I looked at her and I said, "If you ever die, I'll survive you." So even though I felt, you know, in this abstract way that we would die together, I think the part of me that wanted to live, which was there, because obviously here I am, knew that I would have to pull through that experience.
Maybe we should fast forward a little bit, because your life is in a very different place these days, and I think, I gather, a much better place. Can you tell us sort of where you're at these days?
Well, I'm living in New York with a wonderful and loving husband and a beautiful baby girl who is, you know, the center of our lives outside of writing. And it's a very stable, normal, wonderful home that involves a lot of food and love and writing.
Oh, that's great. That's just terrific. Well, let's turn to your sister's story, because the two of you came from a family that really had its share of troubles. Your mother was divorced not once, but twice. She divorced the first time when you girls were quite young, I think 2 or 3 years old, after an abusive marriage. How did those two divorces affect the two of you?
I think that we moved around a lot as a result of those divorces. And my stepfather was in the Marine Corps, and there were a lot of schools. I think one year we were in 4 different schools, which I don't write about, but it was extreme. And I think in moving, there's a certain amount of isolation for a kid. To be the new kid in school all of the time is very difficult. You have to make new friends. But twinship saved us from the real difficulties of that, because no matter where we went, we had each other, and there was this built-in, you know, there was a built-in friend at school for us. And it did the same things, I think, in terms of surviving very difficult homes. We did have a very difficult childhood. It was very turbulent, and our twinship insulated us from that, because no matter how difficult it was, you know, underneath our roof, we had one another to, you know, sleep beside. We shared the same bed. We collaborated in writing stories and poems together. We made forts in the backyard. You know, we made whole houses in the backyard, actually. And I think that's kind of funny now, because I think, you know, we always felt like the glimmer of sanity there. And so, you know, we moved our house outside to make a new one for ourselves.
Again, we're visiting with Krista Paravani. Her new memoir is titled Her. It's a story about the loss of her identical twin sister, Kara. You know, in 92, your grandmother died. You had been living with, she had been living with the two of you and your mother. But you guys were all devastated by that, and you began to act out maybe for the first time in your lives. What happened at that point?
Our grandmother was really, at that moment in our lives, our primary caregiver. We did live with our mom, but she was having a difficult time after her second divorce. And my grandmother, within three months of moving in with her, had been diagnosed with cancer. And it was a quick moving cancer, and it took her much too early in her life. She had just turned 60 years old. And we reacted, you know, like most teenagers would at that moment, if somebody that important was pulled away from you that way. And that we acted out. We left the comfort of our home, you know, not moving, but we sought out older boys, and we didn't do well in school, and we did have each other, but we also had a lot of troubles.
A few years later, you graduated from high school. Then you and Kara went off to Bard College together in New York. The two of you decided to be roommates and study writing. Did you consider not rooming together?
You know, I've never told anyone this before, but Kara didn't want to room with me.
Oh,
she thought it was a terrible idea. And I really pushed for it because it was comfortable, you know, mm-hmm. but it did turn out to be a sort of beautiful disaster because we had the ease of transition in college and that we were never eating lunch or dinner alone in the cafeteria. But there were, you know, there were moments that we didn't want to be the twins. We wanted to be single, singular people and having our own friendships. And Kara had a new wonderful boyfriend that she brought into the room frequently. And there was tension because any man who entered into the fold of our twinship was in his own kind of trouble because
he was
in direct
say,
competition with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and a few years later, Kara married in 2000. And I was wondering, how did that marriage sit with you? And to what extent did you feel that you had just lost your best friend?
I don't know if my sister was ever committed to that marriage in the way that she needed to be committed to that mm-hmm. marriage. So I was never threatened by that marriage. I was certainly sad. It was a great shock to me when she told me that she decided to get married at that young age. And I reacted with some sadness. I did feel as if she was entering into a period of her life that I was not yet ready to enter into myself. And there was a loss and longing for her because of that. She'd entered into something that was totally unknown to me. And as twins, when our twins are going through a transition in their lives that we haven't yet gone through, it is a greatly confusing thing.
Mm-hmm. I can remember when I was, you know, much younger and my best friend announcing that he was going to get married and being so confused, thinking, why would anyone want to get married? I was, you know, 24 years old, the farthest thing in the world from my mind at that point. It can be so strange. Again, our guest, Krista Paravani, her book is titled Her. If you want to join our conversation, our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org, or you can go to KCUR's Facebook page. You know, a year later, Kara moved with her new husband to Holyoke, Massachusetts, to mm-hmm. study creative writing. And this was when her life really turned one fall afternoon in the woods near her apartment. And the story gets very difficult at this point. What happened to her?
My sister went out one early afternoon in October. She was walking her dog in a park near her apartment, and she was raped by a man who had been in the woods. He'd been drinking there, and it was a many hours attack, and she barely survived.
And this was obviously, very obviously, such a crippling blow to her. She responded to it in so many ways, as you might expect. Tattoos, suicide attempts, pills, drugs, alcohol. What was that time like for you to sort of be by her side then?
It was very difficult to witness my sister destroying herself. And she did it in a very particularly Kara-like way, though. She had tattooed her body, and I think a lot of rape victims do that in order to sort of feel control over themselves. But my sister had decided that she was going to tattoo her body with these beautiful flowers. She had a tattoo on each forearm, a tulip on one and an iris on the other. And actually, those were the flowers that were in our grandmother Josephine's garden. And, you know, they were beautiful, and they also protected her in a way because they made her look more dangerous.
You know, during this time, were you able to reach her, or was she in such a different place that even as her identical twin sister, that was just very hard to do?
It was impossible to reach her. Mm. And it was also impossible for me to understand what had happened to her. And that was very difficult for Kara because for the first time in our lives, I mean, she had been married, but that was not an extreme situation. For the first time in our lives, I was unable to really empathize with her. And that is what the relationship of twinship is. It's a, you know, it's the highest kind of empathy. But, you know, this miraculous thing happened to me while I was writing the book Her. I had tried my best to write the scene of my sister's rape. And I struggled for 6 weeks trying to inhabit that space, to try to understand what had happened to my sister. And, you know, I couldn't understand it in life. And there was no way that I was going to be able to understand it after her death. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. And I tried, and it felt very close to fiction, and it was very upsetting. And one day I gave up, and I decided to go visit my mother for a weekend in Albany. And I went up to my sister's old room there, and I sat on the floor, and I looked under the bed, and there was this Tupperware container filled with notebooks. And I pulled one out, and it was the full account of my sister's rape, and she'd written it herself. And it was as if she was delivering it to me at that moment in her death. And, you know, I for the first time, I was able to understand what she'd been through. And it was a gift. It was a gift that she gave me.
You know, you tried to help her, Krista, you know, through your photography. What did you do exactly?
Well, I decided, first of all, I was living in New York City at the time, and Kara was still in Massachusetts, and she was in need of my care. I traveled every weekend to see her, and I was helping cook and clean and do those sorts of things, because she was really so depressed that she wasn't able to do that for herself. And I made this plan, which was we were going to go out into the woods and we were going to take pictures. One, because I wanted my sister to feel more comfortable outside. She was, she had shut herself in at that point. And I wondered if I accompanied her there and gave her, you know, another identity, that shock of white hair, for example, if she'd feel a little less like herself and a little more like someone who was in control, if that makes sense. So we went out into the woods and we took photographs, but my sister was so depressed at that time that she really wasn't up for getting dressed. So we had these really long black coats that my mother gave us, and we put them over her pajamas, and we went right out there and made these pictures, which I later called Kindred.
And is this the picture that appears on the cover of the book?
It is. It is. And actually, yeah. Kara had written extensively about those photographs. It wasn't just about, you know, claiming the outdoors again for herself. It was also about trying to develop her voice again as a writer. I would make these photographs and my sister would respond with a piece of prose that went along with each one. She actually titled all of the photographs.
You know, in 2003, her marriage falls apart. She separates from her husband. She sees the rapist go on trial, and the rapist is sentenced to life in prison. The consequence is she's back on drugs again. And clearly, I'm wondering how difficult it was for you to witness all of that.
When my sister harmed herself, it felt as if she was harming me. I knew that I was going to be in deep trouble if something happened to her. And so I was so worried, obviously, about her and what I saw her life becoming. But I was in turn just as worried about myself, because she couldn't see me in her addiction. There was no room for me in her addiction. And so her general care for me and what would happen to me was totally set aside. And, you know, she, in that way, it felt like she was abandoning me.
How honest with you was she during those days? I mean, could she talk to you? Could she connect with you? Or was that lost as well in the wake of the crime?
It wasn't lost in the wake of the crime, but it was lost in the wake of the drugs. She had a lot of shame for having turned to those drugs, because I knew that she felt that they'd put a wedge between us too, because, you know, very quickly they became just as important to her as I was. And so for her, there was a shame in telling me that. So it was hard for her to confess to having used them, because I was going to ask her not to.
Again, if you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're visiting with Krista Parravani. She's the author of the new memoir, Her. It's a story of the loss of her identical twin sister, Kara Parravani, at age 28, of a drug overdose. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888, and our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. And you know, I was going to say, Krista, Bard taught you well, because you're a terrific writer. It's such a beautifully
written
book.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. It was just a pleasure to spend time with it. And how heavily did your sister lean on you during these years in the wake of her separation from her husband? Were you communicating every day during that time?
We were always in constant communication with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't change after the rape. I probably talked to her on the phone about 3 times a day, and then every weekend.
Wow.
I would see her. And, you know, even before she was raped, that would happen. My sister had chosen this life. She was living, you know, in a rural community, and I was living in New York. And she had this really funny joke. She would always call me the city mouse, and she was the country mouse. And she, you know, write me letters and ask if city mouse was coming to visit for the weekend, which, of course, she always was.
So you're talking 3 times a day. That's just such an incredibly close relationship. You don't hear of those kinds of relationships all that often.
Mm-hmm. No, for me, I mean, it was just the way of life. It was as if I was in the world without my sister, I'd experienced something without her. I needed to tell her about it because it didn't feel real until she'd absorbed it too. So here we are both doing the same thing, patching in, you know, 3 times a day, because twinship was a way of life, and it was a way of experiencing the world, and there was no other way to do it. We had to be in contact that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the story culminates on June 13th, 2006. Kara died after overdosing accidentally on heroin. Obviously a crushing blow, and you hear her voice when you speak. You see her in the mirror when you look at yourself. You also began to spiral at that point. Can you tell us what happened to you at that point, Krista?
I was lost. I was unreachable in the way that she had been unreachable. I gave up in a lot of ways, and I sabotaged my marriage, and I turned to the same sorts of anti-anxiety pills that she had turned to. And in a way, there was comfort there because they did help numb me, but at the same time that they were numbing me, they were also further distancing me from the reality of my life. So I think as much as her death crushed me, I think the weight of the pills that I was taking also crushed me. And in turn, helped me along on the journey of becoming more and more like my sister, a woman who had been, you know, reliant on drugs to numb her pain.
Mm-hmm. Well, Krista, you're obviously, people are listening and want to talk about experiences they've had similar to yours. Again, our guest, Krista Parivani, the author of the new memoir titled simply Her, A Story of the Loss of Her Identical Twin Sister at the Age of 28 a number of years ago. Let's go to these phone calls now. 816-235-2888. Erica from Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to Up to Date, Erica.
Thank you. I just wanted to call in. I had a twin sister who committed suicide 3 years ago.
Hmm.
And I relate so much with what the speaker is talking about. And I wanted to kind of, in her discussion, she talked about how there was no room for her in her addiction, in her sister's addiction. And my twin sister had mental illness, and I felt the same way, that there was just no room in that part of her life for me. And so it was very hard, and it was a struggle for many years with her. And when she ultimately committed suicide, it was devastating. And I relate to so much of what you're saying, talking about the marriage of your twin sister and not fully understanding that marriage. I can remember when my sister was married, and she was married 10 years before I was, that feeling of she was being ripped away from me. It was just mm-hmm. so central. We were so intertwined. It was so yeah. central to who we were. What was interesting was when I got married 10 years later, and she, there was a suicide attempt 2 weeks before my wedding. And mm. then her suicide took place about a year and a half after my wedding. And it's always in the back of my mind that she probably was feeling that same way when I got married, that yeah. feeling of being ripped away from your twin. But it has so changed my whole worldview. You know, I'm not a very religious person, but I always thought I believed in the afterlife, and it's actually quite hard for me to believe in it now because there's this kind of thought out there that she was meant to be with me here right now, and and so it's hard. And I'm just wondering, did that change in the speaker's situation? Did her worldview change?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Erica. Krista?
That was one of the hardest things about losing Kara, is that I lost my faith. I don't know what I believe in, but it was very difficult for me to believe that there was an afterlife or that she was there somewhere and not reachable for me. It was too much to bear. And also the kind of the hope that she would be on the other side waiting for me was also too much to bear. So I kind of just stopped believing anything. And that was a way of protecting myself. But I do have to tell you, there was something really magical that happened to me that was restorative in writing this book, which was that the trauma and the grief of having lost Kara, it kept me from remembering our lives. It trumped everything. It really did. And I went back into my sister's writing, which was, there was so much of that. And I found a full account of our childhood. And all of the things that I couldn't remember myself, my sister had already written. And it was as if she was, you know, from beyond, kind of handing my life back to me. And I did feel that, I say in the book that, you know, love is bigger than death. And I, at a certain point, after a few years, I really was able to see that, because in some ways, her love for me, our twinship, reached beyond that border and touched me and helped pull me through.
That's interesting. I hopefully I can get to that point. I haven't reached it, and I'm hoping to. So I also wanted to put it out there that after my twin sister died, I was hooked up with a support group called Twinless Twin Support Group that helped me initially, and I ultimately am just not, I don't do well in support groups, so I didn't continue with the group, but I want to encourage that because it did initially help me.
Right.
I think that's a great group for people who've just lost somebody, or their twin.
So, and I thank you so much for writing the book, and I look forward to reading it.
Well, Erica, we wish you all the best. I'm sure glad you called in.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Let's go to Tam from Kansas City, Missouri. Tam, you're on up to date with Krista Paravani, her new book, Her. Good morning.
Hi, Krista. I really appreciate the show, and I'm looking forward to reading your book. My sister was violently raped 25 years ago at KU Medical Center. She was a student nurse there. And while we're not twins, I'm 6 years older. I could certainly identify with what you were talking about the how it separates you. And the other thing that I think is, I don't know if you've had this experience, but it never goes away. The violent crime, being a victim of violent crime in the family, never leaves. Every 3 years, I'm going to parole hearings because my sister's in California. It's significantly impacted her life. She hasn't been able to maintain a permanent relationship, and she's very successful at work. The way she survived it is to throw herself into her work. And she also was responsible for pulling me closer to her. I think that that was her need. But I could identify absolutely with the lack of empathy and the inability to relate directly to what she was going through. And the victims, her need to keep it private. In other words, the shame and the it just puts a barrier between you that you can't overcome.
Tam, I appreciate that. Yeah, go ahead, Krista. We have just a few seconds left.
I just wanted to say that that was one of the reasons why I wanted to write this book, too. I just wanted to talk about what happens to a family after somebody is raped. And it really does touch everyone in the life of the victim. And it's an important topic.
Krista, let's end this segment on a different note here. Tell us about your 2-year-old daughter. And how that's changed your life. Yeah.
Josephine Clementine has changed everything. And, you know, there was a moment in the birth of my daughter where I felt my sister there with me in the room. And my sister was with me as I was birthing the baby. And it was the first time that I had experienced my sister after she died in just pure supportive joy. And I reached down and touched that little baby's head coming into the world. And I really did feel my sister there with me, and she was welcoming in this new happy life. And it meant the world to me to have her with me in the room.
Well, that's a good way to end this segment. And Krista, I sure appreciate you sharing this difficult story, but what a good story that people need to be aware of this side of identical twins and what that means to a lot of people. I sure appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet, Krista. All the best to you. Krista Parravani, her new memoir is titled, simply enough, Her. Coming up, 90 Mile View and Brian McTavish with your weekend to-do list. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.